Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another, so we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
So last week, I challenged our church by saying that we will be a church that doesn't just serve within this church body, within these walls, but we will be a church that serves evangelistically outside of these walls. We kind of took a shift in our series from talking about what God wants us to do within the body of Christ to what God wants us to do in the community. And I want to report some good news from last week. We had last week Debbie Heron sharing on video. She's a member here at Northside. She works at Boys and Girls Club here in town. One of her roles is to coordinate volunteers to get engaged in ministry to the over 2,500 children that they serve. Some of them are coming at 7:30 in the morning, going home at 7:30 at night. Some of them don't have that interaction from adults and how much they crave that. And we just challenge our church, hey, go out there, talk to Debbie, sign up, get involved. It's a way in which you can serve in our community where there's a real need right now. And I am excited to report that 30 people walked out there, signed up right then and there to start volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club here in town. And I want us to celebrate that for a minute, that there are people that are taking that on, serving in our community. Praise God for that. So we had a great start. It was just a good start to what God wants to do here. And today I really want to continue to emphasize that we are a church who serves. And I want us to think about this evangelism. Sure, it happens in our community, but today I want to stress the fact that we will be a church that serves globally, not just here locally, but that we will be a church that serves globally. Now, here's the challenge to this. The challenge is that the natural gravitational pull of every church is to turn inward. That is the natural pull of every church, is to turn inward. Now, there is a level of this that's healthy. I mean, when you develop deep relationships within the church, that's healthy. When you hold each other accountable, it's healthy. When there's disciple-making happening in the church, that is healthy. When we show concern for people who are hurting, for those who are sick or disease, other things that are happening in their life, that is healthy. But the problem arises because oftentimes we become so inwardly focused that we lose sight of the outward mission of God. And church becomes more about us than it does about God. It becomes more about our comfort than it does about His purpose. More about our desires than it does about His will. And when that happens, we're in trouble. In fact, Tom Rainer called this evangelistic apathy, where very few members share their faith on a regular basis because they're more concerned about their own needs, what's going on in their own life, than the greatest eternal needs that are happening in the world and in our community around us. That is the danger that every church faces. And the only way that we can be a church or we can be a people that's going to serve globally is if we do it with intentionality. It takes great intention to do that. And so today what I want to do very quickly this morning is I want us to look at three different passages of Scripture. One is from the Old Testament before Jesus walked on the earth. One is Jesus Himself speaking as He walked on this earth and was ascending to heaven. And then another one comes from the book of Revelation after Jesus walked on this earth. And I want us to see the heart of God, that it is to reach every nation and every people on the whole earth, and that would become our heart. Now, this first passage we're going to look at from Isaiah chapter 49 is written 700 years before Jesus is born. It is written by the prophet Isaiah. He is writing here specifically talking about Jesus. And in the text, it calls Jesus Israel because He's going to do what Israel should have been doing but was not doing. And here is what we read in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3, and then in verse 6. God says, "You are my servant, Israel, on whom I will display my splendor. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. He's saying it's too small if only the tribes of Jacob, if only Israel comes to God. That's too small thinking. It's too small of a purpose and a plan. Instead, it's going to be broader than that. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the, read this with me, ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. It is too small a thing for the salvation of God to come just to our people. It is to reach to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all around the world. God's heart is to reach the nations. Now that written 700 years before Christ came is echoed by Jesus himself before he ascends to heaven in Matthew 28. And here in verses 19 through 20, Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go. As you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying God's heart is for all the nations. Therefore, go as a church. Go make disciples of all nations, because God's heart is to reach those nations. And then you teach them everything I've commanded you, so that they too can go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, God's mission was their mission, and their mission is our mission, that we're to go into the world. Now, what this means is that when you believed in Jesus and confessed your sins, and when you were baptized into Christ, confessing Jesus as Lord of your life, you were not only saved from the guilt of your sins. You were not just saved from the guilt of your sins. You were in that moment, you were commissioned by God to go on mission into this world. You were saved to serve. You were saved to serve, not just locally, but you were saved to serve globally. You were saved to serve, to help bring about what God says will be a reality in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, let's look at that in Revelation 7, 9 through 10. We read what is to come in the kingdom of heaven. And John says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. There they were celebrating the salvation of God that had come to people of every tongue, tribe, and nation, because that is what God desires. His redemptive purpose is that every nation be represented around his throne. So what we've been doing since January of this year as a church is we've been wanting to bring a little better clarity and a little better synergy to what we're doing in our global outreach as a church. And Garrett Holly, who grew up in our church, is at Ozark Christian College, attending school there, has a heart for missions big time. He came on as our first missions intern, and he began to help us put a little work into strategizing. He spent a lot of time with me and then with our mission team and our leadership team, just helping us walk through this journey together and formulate our strategy for global outreach. And so what my sermon is today, it's a little different than probably a typical sermon, but I really want to lay a foundation today, and I want to cast a vision today for what our global outreach strategy will be here at Northside Christian Church, who we're going to be. And I want this is going to be a part of our DNA. It's going to become a part of who we are. And sometimes when that's becoming a part of your culture, that takes a little bit of time to develop. I understand that. But this is what we want to be about. We're already doing things in all of these areas, but we want to have better synergy, better clarity, and we want each and every one of you to be engaged and involved in this journey with us. So the first thing I want to do is I just want to clarify some terminology really quick. Because whenever we talk about missions or global outreach, things like this, I want us to be on the same page. And so one of the things that we've done is we've looked at our terminology and said, how can we bring better clarity, synergy, and how can we help those who are in sensitive areas throughout the world where our terminology can be hurtful to them and not helpful? And so one of the ways that we're doing that is through some of the terms that we use. And these are being used throughout missions work and stuff like that today. And we're going to be using it as well. And if you took your bulletin, you have your notes, we have that written out in your notes. And I'll give you just a few of those as examples when it comes to terminology. But instead of missions, overwhelmingly we're going to be using the word global outreach. Global outreach instead of missions. It doesn't mean we'll never use missions, we will, but we're going to talk about global outreach. Instead of missions team, we're calling our missions team now global outreach team, the global outreach team. Instead of mission trips, we're calling it go trips. Go Brazil, go Honduras, go Mexico, go. And of course, conveniently, when Jesus said go, global outreach is a good little acronym for go that we can use. And so we're using some of those terms. If you're taking notes today, I want you to notice number two in your notes. I'm not going to say that because we're on the internet, but that's the main reason why we've decided that we're going to go to these terms and use them. And so that's some terminology. It kind of gets us on the same page. So as I talk about global outreach today, for some of you who grew up in the church, maybe you're thinking missions or something else. That's the terminology we're going to be using. So what I want to do is I'm going to share with you the four practices of global outreach of our church. And it's not just of our church. It's the four practices that people embrace that lets them fulfill God's great mission on this earth. And so here is the first of four practices of global outreach. It is the practice of going. That is immersing ourselves cross-culturally. The practice of going, immersing ourselves cross-culturally. In other words, we want to create a culture in our church in which we are all about going. The Bible challenges us to go to people with the gospel. You can do that in your local cultural context right here. You can also do it in a cross-cultural context. And what we've discovered is when people go in a cross-cultural context, their eyes are open to how God wants to use them in their local cultural context. And so we want people to be going. We want to be a going church. A going church. I was inspired by how Chris DeWelt, who's a global outreach professor at Ozark Christian College, kind of talks about this. He says, you know, oftentimes when we think of the world and we think of the church, when we think of the world, we think of the world like a pancake in which you pour the syrup on it and it just kind of spreads all over. And he goes, so a lot of times we think of the world like that. So we think, you know what, if we would just love people and love God and be Christians, then it's just going to kind of spread over the whole earth. It'll spread across the whole world. If you love God and love on people and as a Christian, it'll just kind of spread throughout the world. But he says, the problem is the world is not like a pancake. The world is like a waffle with its individual squares. And if you have ever put syrup on a pancake, a few squirts in the middle, it can spread to the whole. But with a waffle, that's not your approach, is it? Very different with a waffle. With a waffle, you can completely fill one square while the square next to it is completely empty. That is a problem when it comes to eating. Anybody eat waffles this morning? Anybody have waffle? Seriously? No, you thought I was going to ask before. But this morning, anybody eat a waffle this morning? Did it happen today? Maybe one kid. Anyway, so you put that syrup in there. You had to be strategic about the syrup placement so you get in the other squares. And he says the reason the world's like a waffle is because we have our geographical barriers. We have our language barriers, our religious barriers. We have our ethnic barriers. All these barriers that we have to cross. And so when you think of global outreach in the world, it is like a waffle. We have to be very strategic and intentional about getting the gospel to other people and to every nation in our world. One of the ways here at Northside that we are helping people gain a vision for this is through our go trips. It's through our go trips. Now, we have two different kinds of go trips. The first one is care trips. Care trips are a small group of people. Typically, they're selected. And that group of people is going specifically to our workers around the world to care for them, to encourage them, to support them, to help them in some endeavor in which they are engaged. Sometimes it's to have retreats for them so they can be refreshed and replenished. We call them care trips. We had a group just go on a care trip this summer to Brazil. Rick Floyd, there's Garrett Holly that I was talking about earlier. John Presco, they're here with the Anderson family in Brazil. This was our first time as a church to go to Brazil with the Andersons, and we've been supporting the Andersons for longer than I've been here at Northside. And we decided as a church, we're not going to be one of those churches that just sends money. We're going to be a church that cares for the people that we're supporting. And we're going to show up and provide emotional support and spiritual support and relational support. Rick spent a lot of time working on their home and doing things there to improve what was happening there. They got to see the work that was happening all around that city. It was an encouraging trip for our crew to get to see the great work Andersons are doing. But I know it was incredibly encouraging to the Andersons to have a group from Northside there. So that's the last group we just hadn't been to yet. We've been to other places multiple times. We had not been there yet. And we're going to make that part of our strategy, where at least every 3 years, we're going to do that. My son Nathan and I, we took a trip to Kenya with the Highfields. You'll hear more about that later. We've been to Honduras before. This is another group with some of our group there. This was a trip to Honduras to the Rileys. And this was a care trip to them in which the Rileys also used our group to engage in some outreach and VBS and evangelism stuff there in Honduras, a powerful trip. Those are care trips. So that's one kind of go trip. It's care trips. The other kind of trip we take as a church is exposure trips, where we want to expose people to global outreach. We want to expose them to global outreach, where they can gain a heart for what God is doing around the world. We have some go trips that are coming up this fall. We're going to Mexico, October 23rd through the 28th. 14 people are going. 7 spots are still open. We're going to Honduras with the Rileys, March 10th through the 18th. And that's a care trip. There's 2 to 3 spots left. We're going to Haiti with Lifeline Christian Mission in the summer from June 27th to July 6th. They're taking 30 people to Haiti. And we want to encourage you, if we're going to be a church that goes, if you've not been on a cross-cultural trip, these would be the trips that you would want to become a part of. You want to join. And you can do that by going to northsidechristianchurch.net/go.trips. And you can go to our website and you can sign up. And when you sign up, you're not committing to go. You're starting a dialogue with the leaders and you're learning information about the trip. And you're learning about how you can raise support. Because some of you are concerned, I don't have the finances to go. I can't afford it. Work with our leaders to help come up with that. And find out how God might be able to use you. So I want to encourage you to sign up for that. Our Mexico trip's on the app as well if you're using the Northside app. But these are ways that you can go. So we want to be embracing as a church the practice of going. Okay, practice number 2. Here it is. The practice of welcoming. The practice of welcoming. Connecting with those who come to us. We live in a pretty exciting time in that we don't have to go all the way across the world to an unreached people group to meet someone who has no clue who Jesus is. They are coming to us. And they're coming by the droves, and they're coming to MSU. Over 1,700 international students are on that campus right now. And 90% of them, many of them from unreached people groups, 90% of them have never been in an American home. Never. And that's one of the reasons why there is a couple in our church, Ken and Joyce Eddy. Joyce works at MSU with international friends, and one of her goals is to place these students into American homes. They want to do that. They want to meet Americans. They want to meet and experience your culture. They want to know what your home life is like. And because we are followers and believers in the Lord, that also opens the door for them to see what church is like. Many of them have never been set foot in a church. And a lot of them would like that experience to come and be a part of that. And what I want to do right now is I want Ken and Joyce Eddy, in their own words, we have a video of their testimony. I want them to share with you something that happened here at Northside just a few weeks ago, and how God is using just open arms, a welcoming spirit, hospitality, saying, come into our home, come into our lives to do some powerful things. So if you just give your attention to the screen.
My name's Ken Eddy. And this is my wife, Joyce. We've been involved in international students now for a little over 6 years. We found international students through Northside Christian Church at one of their get-togethers where they had different groups to do things. And we started in with one Chinese girl, and we have grown to where we now have 12 Chinese daughters and one Japanese daughter.
What International Friends is we I recruit families in the community and the surrounding areas to be friends to our international students that come to Missouri State. We have about 1,700 international students that come from 83 different countries.
All that's required is that the family meet with the student once a month. That's a minimum requirement. And that can consist of having the student out to your house for dinner, taking them out to dinner, maybe taking them shopping, realizing that these students are here without means of transportation. They're limited on where they can get around. It may be taking them to a free event or a concert or something like that. Joyce had met with Mohammed, and she asked him, she said, would you like to get together sometime, maybe have an American experience with a family? And he said, yes. So I emailed him back. I said, will you go caving? He said, okay. I've never been in a cave, except dry caves hiding weapons in Yemen. Arms and ammunition. I said, no, this isn't quite like that. So we took in caving yesterday, and we got in a conversation, and I was telling him when we accept a student, when we're assigned a student, I always email them, and I tell them a list of all the things that we do with them. And I say one of the things that we always offer is, church is one of the main things. We are Christians. We're very deep in our faith. But we do not push our faith on our students. I will ask them if they want to go to church, and if they want to go to church, we will bring them. If they don't want to, I'm going to love them the same. If they come one time and turn it down, that's fine. That's their right. I'm going to continue to love them. And as we were driving along, he just turned to me and he said, I'd like to go to church with you and Joyce tomorrow. And it kind of set me back, and of course I didn't say, are you sure? I said, sure. Sure, I will. I'll pick you up at 8:30 in the morning. So we picked him up this morning along with two of our girls, and we brought him to church. One thing I will say, the people in this church were so friendly to him, and he noticed that. They embraced him. That's one thing we love about this church. And the music started, the service started. I kind of gave him a brief explanation of what was going to happen. The music started. He stood next to me, and every word of every song he sang as loud, if not louder, than I did, which, I'll be honest with you, blew me away, because he was praising God, and I didn't hear Allah. He didn't say, praise be to Allah. He said, praise be to God. He said, praise to Jesus. And they don't recognize Jesus but as a prophet. And my heart just melted. I'm going, thank you, God. I mean, throughout the songs, I'm just praising God for what's happening. I don't know if he's going to come back to church with us. We took him to dinner, and we continued our conversation very light. But it was open. And it shocked me that he asked to come to church. It really did. I did not ever expect that to happen. So all I can say is, it wasn't me. God's hand was in it. Expect the unexpected. Because if God is going to move with these students through you, he will do it on his time and in his way. And just let him move that student for you, and just be there to help guide, and just be there to love on him.
That right there is the power of welcoming, isn't it? I mean, it's just the power of open arms and welcoming and seeing how God moves and seeing what God does and giving room for the Holy Spirit to work through you, through your spirit of love and hospitality and care. That's what happens every Sunday when Paul and Pam Highfield meet with our International Sunday School class and they come together and they study God's Word. It happens when they have their small group throughout the week, an international small group that comes together of Chinese students, and there they're learning about the Lord and they're caring for each other and they're inviting them into one of our members' homes where they have food and they are hospitable to them. But God is using the practice of welcoming to draw people into his kingdom that are far from him. And in this case, they're oftentimes far from us. But they're right here among us. Let's love on them. I love that story. Now, I want you to know that International Friends through Missouri State, we have a booth out in the lobby. Ken and Joyce are out of town today, but Dana Edwards, who's been very active and involved in it, is at that booth today. So if you want to get information, you want to see how you can get connected up with an international student there at MSU, you can do that at that booth in the lobby. I want to encourage you to check it out and just ask God how you could be a part of this by just welcoming someone even once a month into your home. So that is the practice of welcoming, the practice of going, the practice of welcoming. And then we have this other practice, number three, it's the practice of sending. It is supporting those who go. The practice of sending, supporting those who go. Not every one of you is going to be called to go to a foreign country and to be a worker there. However, you have been called to support those who do go. And we've been called to have that kind of mission-mindedness. And so what I want to encourage you today is to consider how you can support those who go. And here's one of the first things you could do right now to support those who go. You can support through prayer. Support through prayer. Prayer preceded every movement of God. Prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Prayer preceded the signs and wonders in Acts chapter 4 and 5. Prayer preceded the sending out of the first missionaries in Acts chapter 13. It was prayer that preceded it, because the power is in our God, not in us. And so we need to pray. Pray for those workers. And not just for the workers, but pray for the nations. Pray for the lost. And there's some great prayer resources you can use. OperationWorld.org. Right there is a great resource on their homepage. They have a list of nations and prayer points for those nations. And you can read about that. JoshuaProject.net also has an app you can put on your phone where every day there's an unreached people group of the day that you can pray for them and pray for that people group. Pray for the lost. PrayForTunisia.com. Is a site because of the believers that are there and the great movements that are happening there. It's happening because of prayer. PrayForTunisia.com. PrayerCast. PrayerCast.com is a great source for videos of who, what, when, and how to pray for people groups all over the world. And you can find out more at PrayerCast.com. So this is a huge way that we can support those who go, which starts off with prayer. Here's a second way. We can support through our finances. Some of you may not know that 13% of all offerings, 13% of every dollar, 13% of every general offering goes to global outreach in our church. That means this year alone, we will give $218,818 to global outreach from our general fund. That does not include any kind of special offering that we might do. Like when we took a special offering for the Ndoinyo Church, when we partnered with the Maasai there to help build them a building. By the way, this is the completed building right here that you helped to build. Right there is a picture of it, complete. Haven't seen that yet. And it looks great. And this is the building they really kind of want to be the model for some of the other churches that are in that cluster of churches, areas where through the ministry of Paul and Pam Highfield, they've planted these churches. That's in Ndoinyo, and the next one in Otolele is wanting to do the same thing. We got to be a part of this building dedication. In fact, here's some video footage of it right here, of the cutting of the ribbon. You can see the roof on the porch wasn't yet on, and some of the paint's not yet on, but they were launching the building because most everything else on the inside was at least complete enough that they could meet. Just not yet painted. But maybe 300 to 400 people came in for the building dedication that day and for the blessing, singing, dancing, worshiping. 20 Maasai were baptized that day. We had communion together, which was fantastic. They do all this kind of dancing during their communion, a little more lively than ours. And then we received gifts from them. I got a goat on a rope is what I got that day, a goat on a rope that I pulled around for that day. But man, that church, they were worshiping and excited and celebrating what God was doing. Incredible day. We give financially. Now, when we give financially, that 13% goes to four categories. One is the monthly support of our workers. That's a huge part of it. Another one is grant funding, so those workers can send in for projects that they got going on and different ministry objectives and things they want to do strategically, and they can send in a grant, and we can take funds to give to that. For their grants. And so that's the other big part of the budget. That's over 95% of the budget is those two things alone. And then the other 5% is financial assistance for those going on go trips. They'll help a little bit, a small portion for every individual who applies for that from Northside. But also is the administrative costs for those go trips. Some funds will go to that for the care trips and the exposure trips. So that's where our finances, that 13% is going, and that's how we can support. So when we give generously, automatically 13% of that's going to global outreach. That's how we continue to increase our giving around the world. Now, the other way we support is through worker care. It's just worker care. It's where we care for them by showing up and strategically investing in them and making it a point to be in their homes and to pray for them and care for them. And here's how we do that best. This is the last practice, number four. So we've talked about going, we've talked about welcoming, we've talked about sending. And now for the last one is the practice of mobilizing, empowering others in His purpose. In other words, what's going to have the greatest impact is when each one of you realize that when it comes to global outreach, you have a role to play. There's things you can do right now to be a part of this great journey. And as you begin to realize that God's story is huge and you're a part of it, and we just want to educate and network and rally people to be a part of this, here's something you need to know. I like how A.T. Pearson said this. Christians need to be converted to missions. Think about that. Christians need to be converted to missions just as the lost do to Christ. That's unfortunate. But sometimes we come to know Jesus and we're saved by Jesus without hearing His call to go and to reach others with the gospel of Jesus. It's like just as we were called to be saved, Christians need to be converted to missions, to realize this is who we are. So some of the ways we do this is, one is through the Kairos course. Some of you have heard about this, but we offer this. It's being offered in September at Glendale Christian Church here in town. It'll be here after the first of the year. But the Kairos course is our primary preparation tool for those who go on go trips. And it's for anybody. And it just it opens your eyes to what God is doing around the world. It is one of my favorite courses that I've ever been through. It's called the Kairos course. It can be several weekends or it can be a 9-session course where you get that. It's a great tool. But the other thing that we're doing to mobilize our church is something called Go Night. We only have this 4 times a year. Go Night is 4 times a year. Those of you who've been around here a little while, maybe you've seen an announcement on it, but a lot of you haven't been yet. And Go Night is one of those nights where we come together and have a meal together here at Northside. We have a meal together. And then we hear from one of our global workers on October 20th, the Highfields, and myself. We are going to be doing a presentation that night about Kenya. We'll talk about what God did there. We're going to show other footage and things of what happened there as we were there this summer. They were there all summer. They'll talk about the work that's going on. And so we highlight one of our workers. And then we sit at different tables, each of those tables representing one of our different workers around the world. And we sit down at those tables and we hear prayer requests that they have provided to us so we can pray for them specifically. And then we hear about ways that we can encourage them and support them and care for them and help them. And those teams, they're there to start thinking about how we can support better those workers around the world. That's Go Night. And I would encourage you on October 20th to be a part of that. So as we kind of bring this to a close today, I want to ask that our servers would go ahead and be dismissed for communion if you're helping us with that. But I want to give just some action steps to this big vision picture that we've been talking about today of what we want to do with global outreach. And here's some of those steps for you. The first one is this. Go to the global outreach wall in the lobby and pick up these two cards that are out there at the lobby. One is a list of all of our global workers and partners. And right there, you can start praying for them. You can start praying for them right now today if you would pick that up. The other thing you can do is pick up a card that talks about the go trips that are coming up. 3 go trips right there, information, how to take your next step with the go trips. And then on that wall, see the tablets that have pictures, and we'll be adding more to that. That just got launched this week. But you'll see pictures and stuff of those teams around the world. Go there and check that out and start praying today for those people. That's something you can do right now today. The other thing I would encourage you to do is if you've not yet been on a cross-cultural go trip, then go on one. And when you pick up this card, you'll see the dates and the costs and all those things, but don't let your fears get in the way. Go ahead and sign up and let our team walk you through it. Next, I want to encourage you to welcome people. And you can do that by going to the table in the lobby and signing up or getting information to be an international host for an international student. You can do that today. That's how you can respond. I also want to encourage you through sending, through your prayer, through your finances, through giving generally. I want you to continue to support those who we send. And then last of all, mobilization. Go to Go Night on October 20th. Pray for those workers. Start praying for the people that they're trying to reach. And just keep in mind, this week, Isaiah chapter 49 that we read when we first came together from that Old Testament passage that says it's too small a thing. It is too small a thing for God just to reach this people. It's too small a thing for God just to reach Springfield, Missouri, or the United States of America. It's too small of a thing. We need the gospel to go to every nation, every tongue, every tribe. We get to partner with our great God in that great effort. That's what we're signing up for. Who would want to be a part of that? Because someday around the throne, when people of every tongue, tribe, and nation are worshiping our God, we will join them and we'll say, this isn't new to us. We've been dreaming for this day for years and years. We've been planning for this day, preparing for this day. We've been sending for this day, mobilizing for this day, welcoming for this day, going for this day. We've been a part of this day long before this day. That's the kind of church we want to be. And so today, as we take communion, when bread comes down your row representing the body of Jesus and a cup representing his blood, let this be a reminder to you, you were not saved just for you. That redemption was not just for you. But this is what we want to see in every tongue, tribe, and nation. People gathering to death together, taking of communion, because they all, on that day, are reflecting on a Savior who saved them from their sins. That is our prayer. So would you stand with me? Let's sing together. Let's prepare our hearts.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.